Bible podcast. We hope you'll enjoy this message by Pastor Joey Bonifacio.
I want to start by talking to you about 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7. It says, "So to keep me from becoming conceited because of the surpassing greatness of the revelations, a thorn was given to me in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to harass me, to keep me from becoming conceited." Notice where it says, "A thorn was given to me in the flesh." This is the Apostle Paul explained that he was struggling over something in his flesh. The Bible is silent whether this is a physical ailment, a relationship, or something else. The point is, it was in the flesh. Then he goes on to say, "Three times I pleaded with the Lord about this, that it should leave me." Notice where it says he's pleaded with God. I want to point out that the Apostle Paul was actually not in sin, was doing well in ministry, and was living in God's will. And sometimes we think that life should be free of all of our thorns in the flesh, but it's not. What is important to understand is what happens when we encounter these things. In verse 9, it says, God tells him, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness." Paul is told that in the midst of the thorn in the flesh, "My grace is sufficient for you, and God's power is made perfect in weakness." If you know and remember the last 3 weeks, I've been talking about different people who had limitations in life. Nick Vujicic, Joni Erickson Tada, and their limits. And yet, we talked about how they've lived wholeness, lives that were whole, lives that were empowered, and lives that have brought about certain amounts of discipline. Today, I want to explain to you that there's one more ingredient that is necessary to bring about wholeness, empowerment, and discipline together, that without it, all of these will probably fail us. And that is the catalyst, the thing that brings all of this together, and that word is the word grace. Believe it or not, grace is not just about you being saved by grace, but it applies to every area of your life, particularly the area of your health. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9, we go back to the idea where Paul says that God told him, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness." My grace is sufficient for you. Understanding grace is my first point. To understand grace, we need to understand the purpose of grace. In 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 8, it clearly explains to us the purpose of grace. It says, "And God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that having all sufficiency in all things at all times, you may abound in every good work." I need you to just watch this. It says that the purpose of grace, it begins with says, "God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that having all sufficiency in all things at all times," and notice where the word "all" is mentioned 4 times, "all sufficiency because of all grace, all things because of all grace at all times." And here comes the reason why, or the purpose for grace, "so that you may abound in every good work." Regardless of whether you're fully functional and healthy or you had certain thorns in the flesh or ailments, the point is grace is having all sufficiency, all things at all times, so that you may abound in every good work. Understanding grace from this perspective is realizing the purpose of why God gives it to you. Many times, God will heal our infirmities and our diseases. In some cases, the thorn in the flesh will remain, but His grace is sufficient. Secondly, to understand grace is to deepen our understanding of grace. For many people, grace is simply the unmerited favor of God. All they know is that grace saved me and that the merited favor of God. And while that's true, there is an expanded understanding that we need to realize if we are to see this at work in our lives. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9, it says, "But he said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness.'" Notice what it says, power is made perfect in weakness because of grace. Further, it says in the second half of the verse, "Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses, so that," it mentions it again, "the power of Christ may rest upon me." 2 times the word "power" is mentioned. The late theologian and pastor James Ryle explained that more than just the word grace being the unmerited favor of God, it is also the empowering presence of God to be who God created you to be and to do what God called you to do. Grace, more than just being saved, is God's empowering presence in your life to be who God created you to be in order for you to do what he has called you to do. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 10, it says, "For the sake of Christ, then, I am content with weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecutions, and calamities." A lot of these involve the flesh, whether that's weaknesses in the physical body, ailments or insults or hardships, whether physical or financial, persecutions or calamities like COVID. "For when I am weak, I am strong." Paul is explaining that when you have all of these going in your life, grace is at work and the fullness of its power is manifested. As I thought about this verse, I was reminded of an article I read about Michael Yong. Michael Yong, a Singaporean, was born in 1973 with cerebral palsy due to a brain injury during his birth. Growing up, his parents took him to temples, mediums, and sought all sorts of cures for him, until he encountered Jesus at the age of 15 and received him as his Lord and Savior. In that process and in that time, his presence gave their life to Christ as well, as they saw the grace of God at work in his life. It didn't mean that he was completely freed of cerebral palsy, but the grace was sufficient for him to be who God created him to be and for him to do all that God has called him to do. In time, after his A-levels, he worked for a travel agency. And then he realized, like most people with a disability, he struggled with the realization of his limitations and capacities. Yet in the midst of that, by the grace of God, despite all these, he pursued and managed to earn a bachelor's degree in theology and two master's degrees, one master's in divinity and another a master's in counseling. Today, Michael is happily married to Cynthia and has two children. And he's pastoring in a church known as Bethesda Church in Bukit Arang. The article itself reads and says, "Disabled people are not God's afterthought. This is an article written about him." I bring you this article because in this article, he quotes the verse that I just mentioned to you, 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 9 and 10. Further, he's quoted saying, "What is considered my weakness is actually my strength as I learn to lean on God more and more." This is a deepening of our understanding of grace. The purpose of grace, the reality that it is God's presence in our life that empowers us to do what He's created us to do and to be, or rather to be who's created us to be and to do what He has created us or called us to do. Finally, Jesus is grace personified. In the book of John, chapter 1, verse 14, it says, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we've seen His glory as the one and only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth." It will be hard-pressed to say that Jesus was just filled with the unmerited favor of God, which is grace, as we define it. It would be limited. Jesus is the empowering presence of God that allows us to be who God created us to be and is the source of our truth. Further in verse 16, it says, "For from Him is fullness we have all received grace upon grace. From His fullness, we have all received grace upon grace." The level of grace that is unmerited and the level of grace that allows us to be empowered to fulfill our lives here on this earth. Further in Romans chapter 5, verse 17, it says, "For if by the trespass of the one man, death reigned through that one man, how much more will those who receive God's abundant provision," there it is again, "God's abundant provision of grace and the gift of righteousness reign in this life through the one man, Jesus Christ." Jesus is the personification of grace. My second point is, more than just understanding grace, is how do you receive grace? Receiving grace begins in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16, where it says this, "Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time in need." Let me repeat that. "Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need." Notice where it says, "draw near to the throne of grace." Receiving grace daily is coming to God and drawing near His throne. How do I do that? Well, it says it very clearly in the verse. It says, "Let us then with confidence." Starting point is to be confident without fear, without insecurity, without inhibition, knowing we have complete access with God because of Jesus who saved us from our sins and gave us this ability to enter His presence. Then as we walk in confidence, drawing near to the throne of grace, understanding that we will find mercy every time we come. Let me explain this. Mercy is God not giving me what I deserve. That's mercy. The next, when you understand mercy, you will find grace. Grace is God giving me what I don't deserve. When I think about grace and mercy, I always think about the story of this executive who worked for this billionaire. And he had all the grace because he had all the empowerment. And yet in the midst of that, there was a secret sin that he had. In that moment, he lost his grace because they found out that he was an embezzler. He was actually stealing from his boss. Now, mercy is when the boss decided not to sue him and throw him in jail. Grace is when the boss decided that I'm not just not putting you in jail, I'm not firing you, I'm not just not firing you, I'm not just not promoting you, I'm going to make you my son. And I'm going to teach you the rigors of this business, the character, the power, the wisdom, the grace to be able to run it. In other words, I don't even deserve mercy, I let alone don't deserve grace. When you understand the potency of grace, something happens to your life that you know it's undeserved clearly. I don't deserve this favor, but amazingly, the owner of the business has empowered me to live this life and has decided that he will personally teach me how to live this life. When you understand grace from this perspective, your life changes. Further, it says, let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace that we may receive mercy and grace to help us in our time of need. When we receive grace, we're drawing near to God's throne. And the second key is to be humble. Humility is not when you receive the grace and it says, okay, now you're my son, you now own the business, you start running around and bragging to people. That's not going to work. It's actually humbly acknowledging, I don't deserve this, and I thank you for even considering me worthy. And that's why mercy has to come first. Because when you understand, you're on your way to jail, and I didn't do that for you, and instead, I gave you grace. In James chapter 4, verse 6, it says, he gives me more grace. Therefore, it says, God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. How do you get more grace? How do you get it daily? By staying humble. God opposes the proud. Don't ever forget this verse, very important, if you're going to see grace operating in your life on a daily basis. But God gives grace to the humble. The key is to understand how that works. Many times we think of pride as the opposite of humility. The truth of the matter is, humility is not necessarily on the other end of pride. It's actually more right here in this illustration. The other side of pride is actually insecurity. Inside humility is confidence and security in God. When you have your confidence and security in God, that's what humility is. It's not your behavior. It's not whether you think of yourself less or more. It's knowing my confidence and my security is in God. When your confidence leaves the realms of God and becomes your own confidence, it becomes pride. Just a matter of time. When your security leaves the confines of God's realm, it becomes insecurity because both of these are about you. When you go back to the place of humility or being, finding your confidence in nothing and no one but God, you find confidence and you find security, and there you will find grace. When we operate in humility, what that simply means is we're walking in the center of God's will and purpose for our lives. The question, therefore, is how do I do that? Well, very simply, when you pray every day, you're acknowledging the presence of God. When you pray every day, you're acknowledging your need for God. When you pray every day, you're saying, God, hallowed be thy name. Your kingdom come, your will be done. You're saying, God, I don't want my will, I want your will. Every time you pray, you are putting yourself in that place of humility, therefore, the place of grace. Every time you meditate on the Word of God and declare, God, it's not my thoughts, not my ideas, but I want my mind renewed, transformed by the renewing of their mind, by meditating on your Word, then you are putting yourself in a place of humility. Every time you proclaim that life sucks and it doesn't work without Jesus, you are putting yourself in a place of humility. And every time you fellowship with others, knowing you can't pull this off alone, you need a community, you're putting yourself in a place of humility. And every time you do that, you will receive grace every day. Finally, How do I receive grace? Well, position yourself under grace. When we started this series, I made known to you the idea of shalom, wholeness, nothing missing, nothing broken, hence peace and security and even health. And we also explained that in the midst of that is the nefesh, the side of us that is non-material, the side of us which is our mind, our will, our emotions, and the side of us that is usually the one that gets corrupted and at some point is the thing that affects our lives. And that's why sin can only be broken by grace. And it is the grace of God that saves us from sin, that allows us to live the life, the healthy life that God wants for us. I'm reminded of a story my son told me once about his chemistry class. And then they would take the mercury because it was a fascinating chemical, and they would play with it, and sometimes they would play with it in their hands. And one day, they were doing this behind their teacher's back. Their teacher caught them, and their teacher explained to them, you know, every time you do that, what you don't understand is what you're touching there is toxic. Sin is toxic. And once it gets into your skin, it will have an ability to corrupt you little by little, and it spreads little by little, and it degenerates you. That's how this works. Sin is the thing that causes us to be degenerated, and grace is the thing that stops it. And every time we do that and say no to sin, health in our bodies and health in our spirits, health in our minds will create this graceful life that God intended for us. Romans 6 verse 14 says, "For sin will have no dominion over you, since you are not under law but under grace." Sin can have dominion over you or run all over your body, all over your mind, over your will, your emotions. But if you put yourself under grace, you will find this drawing near to the throne of God, this humility, this position of grace, and you will keep receiving the empowering presence of God to be who God created you to be so that you can do what God has called you to do. My last and final point is powered by grace. When you think about grace, or at least when I think about grace, I think of a ballet dancer, somebody who's so graceful and can do things that I cannot even do 10% of, or maybe an athlete who's so graceful in the way they do things, or maybe somebody like Albert Einstein and could so gracefully created this formula that's revolutionized the scientific community. When you think about grace, you see people who do things that are nearly impossible. But what's amazing is not just that the things they do are nearly impossible, they do it so elegantly and so effortlessly. The problem with all of these is that these are not transferable. And worse, a lot of times, these very popular celebrities can't even make their marriages work, and the grace of God is not working in their lives. Their grace is limited to them. The grace of God does not work this way. In fact, in Titus chapter 2, verse 1, it says, "For the grace of God has appeared that offers salvation to all people." It's something that you have access to so that you can, may not be a football player, might not be a ballet dancer, or as a genius like Einstein, but you will be the person that God created you to be, and you will be able to do the thing that God has called you to do. Whether that's being a businessman, whether that's being a parent, whether that's being a husband or a wife, a spouse, you will be, or a student even, you will be able to fulfill that by the grace of God. Further in verse 12, it says, it teaches us to say no to ungodliness, to worldly passions, and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age, in this physical body. Grace is what not just empowers us, it empowers us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions, which very often is the cause of our loss of health, and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age. We're powered by grace, and it teaches us to say no to sin, whether that's blatant things that can destroy our bodies or the not-so-blatant things. By the way, I'm preaching to myself here. Not so blatant things that we see us do that is actually destructive to us and cause us to lose sleep or become unhealthy. The point is, it teaches us to say no to ungodliness and to live self-controlled lives, upright lives, godly lives in this present age. We're powered by grace because it teaches us to say no to sin. It transforms our weaknesses into power, as we've seen in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9, my grace is sufficient for you and my power is made. Think about that. Think about that for a moment. God's power is made perfect in our weakness. I love that. I'm not the smartest guy in the world. I'm not the strongest guy in the world, but I have the grace of God available to me every day. Each and every time I come to that throne of grace, I receive mercy and grace. Every time I place myself in a humble position and place myself under grace, His power, the very power that runs the universe, is made perfect in my weakness so that I can be who God created me to be, so that I can do what God has called me to do. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1:26, it says, brothers and sisters, think of what you were and who you were called when you were called. Not many of you were wise, but human standards. That's me. Not many of you are influential or of noble birth, but God chose the foolish things of this world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of this world to shame the strong. Why, he says, God chose all of that to nullify the things that are, so that no one may boast before him. Grace is the reality of the power of God manifested in those who are weak, so that people cannot boast and say, God, I did it on my own. One final point about powered by grace. Grace is powered by faith. It's not powered by works. It's not powered by how many degrees you have. It's powered by faith. To believe that God exists, that God loves me, that God cares me, that Jesus died for me, that He paid for all my sins, and that's where my faith is, I will experience grace. Romans chapter 12, verse 6 says, we all have different gifts according to the grace given each of us. Big mistake when you start comparing yourself to others, because that might not be the grace God has given you. Stick to the one that He's created you to be, and stick to the one that He's called you to do. And here it is. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance to what? Your faith. It's your faith that works and causes this grace to manifest in work in your lives. Not you even just gritting faith. It's just you believing in the goodness of God. Further, it says in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8, it is by grace that you have been saved through what? Through faith. Through believing in God, and this is not of yourselves. You cannot make this happen. You cannot make it work. It is a gift of God. Not by works, again, so that no one can boast. I think God doesn't like the idea of people boasting that they can live their lives apart from Him. And that's exactly what grace is, living life with God. Powered by grace, it teaches us to say no to sin. It transforms our weakness into power, and grace is powered by faith. Let me close and summarize this series of messages. Wholeness, to be empowered, to be disciplined. All good without the catalyst. It will fail us. Grace is what will bring all of these together. The wholeness that God created us to be, the empowerment to live the lives to our fullest, the discipline that is necessary to make that happen, but can only be done by grace. Let me summarize. Understanding grace is the purpose of grace. When you understand the purpose of grace, and then you deepen your understanding of grace and to know that Jesus is grace personified. Receiving grace daily is simply this, drawing near to God's throne, knowing that I don't have all the answers, but I can go to Him and receive mercy. Be humble, put yourself on a position under grace, be powered by grace to live self-controlled lives and to make the things that are impossible become simple and doable. It transforms our weakness into power. And finally, grace is powered by faith. Let me proclaim Jesus. And as we close this service, grab a piece of bread and a cup and let's pray. Lord Jesus, in you is grace personified, the very embodiment of the empowering presence of God in our lives. By grace, we have all sufficiency in all things at all times. And as such, we are empowered to be who you created us to be and to do what we have been called to do in this life. Grant us a heart that humbly draws near to your throne of grace, positioning ourselves under your grace. As we do, we believe that we will have the power to say no to sin and ungodliness. We will see our weaknesses made perfect in your power. In Jesus' name we pray. And everyone said, Amen.
Thank you for listening to the Every Nation Singapore podcast. We hope you've been blessed by today's message. For more information, visit everynation.org.sg.